Welcome to this podcast is rigged with JW Riggs. I'm so excited for today's episode. I have a great guest, Brian Starr, which you might know him as Beast Starr from TikTok or YouTube. And he also has his own videography company. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Super excited for this. How are you doing today, Brian?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me, for real. I'm excited to just talk about movies. That's what I love to do.
I love movies so much. And of course, this is an audio podcast, but I got to say, your hat is awesome. Your
Dick Tracy hat.
So it's like, that's awesome. And I've seen from a few of your videos, you're a big fan of that character and that movie, correct?
Yeah. I never watched it until maybe like only 4 or 5 years ago. And ever since I watched it, I just fell in love. And I love old vintage hats, especially if they're related to movies or anything like that. And so once I found this Dick Tracy hat, I was absolutely sold for sure. It's great.
That's awesome. So I'm a huge movie fan as well. As you could probably see in my background, I have a Muppets poster. So, but movies, I've always been a big fan of movies. I've also loved watching people talk about movies, which kind of sounds a little strange, but I love it. So that's what kind of brought me to your TikTok. And I was just scrolling one day and I saw your videos. I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then I found out like 2 months later that my sister started watching your videos before I did. So
that's funny.
Yeah, that's just awesome. Something we kind of laugh about now when we watch your videos together. But
awesome.
How did you get into movies? Is that something you've always really been interested in? Or?
Yes, absolutely. My family we're movie people. Growing up, we just watched movies all the time, and we had our own movie collection. I had a closet devoted to VHS, and so we would just constantly get movies and watch movies and everything like that. And my dad, who is a teacher, taught about movies, and so of course everything he taught me. And growing up, you know, it wasn't just watching a movie and it's done. It was watch a movie and then talk about it. And, you know, why did we like it? Why did we not like it? Let's talk about how they made it, you know. And then when DVD came out, let's watch all the behind the scenes and everything like that. So, movies have just been a part of my life since I can remember, for sure.
That's great. What was like the first movie you really remember watching?
That's a good question. The first movie I really remember watching. I don't know. I do know the first movie in theaters was Little Mermaid, but I don't remember that. that's what I've been told. And then a good memory that I have, I'm a big fan of Star Wars. And so one of my favorite memories is, and this is, I couldn't tell you when, but I was very young, and I told my dad, I want to watch the Star Wars movie. This is before the prequels. I want to watch the Star Wars movie where Darth Vader removes his helmet. And so my dad was like, okay, let's watch Return of the Jedi. And I was like, no, that's not it. So we ended up watching the entire trilogy, and I was like, no, this is not it. What I was talking about was Spaceballs. And I don't know how I ever watched Spaceballs that young, but for some reason I must have seen the scene where Rick Moranis's massive helmet pops up and it keeps like falling or something like that. And that's what I wanted to watch. I ended up watching the entire Star Wars trilogy before I found out what movie I was looking for.
That's great. I mean, Spaceballs is another thing that's very special to me. As I watched that with my brother, I guess I was like 9 or 10. I don't know how he got my parents to let me watch that. So yeah. I love it. And just ever since then, I've been a big fan of Mel Brooks, and I've watched most of his movies. And just a lot of the times when I'm going to sleep, I just find myself either listening to podcasts that Mel Brooks have been on or watching interviews with him and older directors. So
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's absolute genius. I wish he was still making them. I wish, you know, pulling a Clint Eastwood and just still making them until he passes. But yeah, the dude, it's just a different time in comedy, and he really perfected it for sure.
Most definitely. But now, one thing I would like to mention, I've seen some videos about the Ed Asner Foundation. If you would like to talk more about that, you can, as I've always wanted to learn what that's about, and I've never actually researched it like I should. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I did a video for the Ed Asner, and I'm going to pull up their info so that I get it exactly right, because I want to show them as much love as I can. But I first did a video with the Ed Asner Foundation when they were doing a fundraiser for the center. And basically, they were doing this big, massive poker fundraiser. And to test out how to do it online, because in the past, of course, they were able to do it in person. To test out how to do it online, they had a couple of different test runs with influencers who were able to take scenes from playing poker with Ed Asner and, you know, make it into a YouTube or TikTok or whatever. So I was able to play a couple of rounds of poker with Ed Asner, his son Matt, who is, I believe, the president of the foundation, and he's running everything. And then Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
Oh, so Robert Smigel.
Which was also incredible, because I grew up the biggest, and I still am the biggest Conan O'Brien fan. So obviously I knew all about him. And then I was able, the other people that were doing that with me was Ethan Trace, who you can see on TikTok. And oh my gosh, I totally just blanked on her name. Oh no, she's so nice too. I hate to do that. There it is. Taya Miller. Gosh, I'm so sorry, Taya. So I was able to do that with them, which was really great. And yeah, so basically, and again, I want to make sure that I fully have this correct. What they're doing is they're helping out not only people with special needs, but also families with special needs as well, which I think is really, really amazing. You know, obviously, the people with special needs, they probably need some extra help here and there, but I feel like some people kind of forget about the families as well, who are also probably not as knowledgeable as we all should be about how to work with those needs and everything like that. So the fact that this foundation helps everyone involved, I think, is just super, super important. So nothing is neglected, and all the info can be there for everybody, which is really, really cool. But yeah, I have their tag on my TikTok. So if anyone, you know, donates or anything, you just click on that tag right there, and you'll be able to take care of it from there. It's pretty awesome.
That's great. It's a really cool foundation. I think everybody should go check that out. I've always, so I was one of those kids. Of course, I'm almost 18. I'll be 18 February 26th. So exactly a month from when we're recording this. Nice. And I've always been one of those kids that have always gravitated more towards some of the older TV shows and older actors and stuff. Like, even now, one of my favorite comedians is Dana Carvey. So I've always, yeah, like stuff from the 80s and 90s and stuff like that. So I've always found myself gravitating towards Ed Asner's acting, and I've always been a big fan, and his foundation is really cool as well. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I you know, when I did that thing with Ed Asner, who, if you know anyone listening doesn't know, Ed unfortunately passed in the fall. So the timing of me being able to work with them was pretty insane. But in doing research, because I knew they were going to probably ask questions, because here's the thing is like people are going to say like, what's your favorite Ed Asner movie? Everyone will always say Elf and Up because they probably don't know what else Ed has done, even though he's shown up in a bunch of things. Those are always kind of the go-to answers. And so I did my research and I didn't know this, of course, growing up, but throughout the 90s, Ed was a voice on pretty much every cartoon that I watched, the biggest being J. Jonah Jameson from Spider-Man, the animated series. He is a big part of everyone's lives, and I feel like no one really knows that either, which is pretty awesome.
So yeah, most definitely. I was thinking of Spider-Man just now. I was also thinking of the show Touched by an Angel, as he was on that show as a security guard in one episode. So it's just a little thing.
That's crazy. I think of.
So
yeah, absolutely.
If you would like to, let's talk about TikTok a little bit. How did you get into TikTok? I know you get that question all the time, more than likely, but, how did you start TikTok? Was it like the beginning of the pandemic, like most of us, or how did that happen?
No, I believe my first video, it's going to take me forever to scroll, but I joined in 2019. Like kind of peeked into the app and was just like, is this a space for me? And quickly left. I was like, no, this is, you know, still for the younger crowd. But then the pandemic hit, and at the moment of the pandemic hitting, I was doing a cooking show on Instagram in my stories. Ooh. I called it Beastar Cooks. And for 10 or 12 weeks straight, every single Sunday, I cooked something brand new and filmed myself doing it. And it was fun, but, you know, and obviously I had some good reactions from it, but I wasn't getting enough reactions. I was putting too much time into what I was doing and not getting enough love back, which I realize is probably selfish, but you know, when you work on something so hard, it's nice to kind of at least get like a thumbs up, you know? And so I re-downloaded TikTok and started, you know, scrolling, and, you know, the algorithm was finally like fitting my interests. And that's when I realized there is a following for people who resell stuff. I do some reselling on the side, on eBay, Mercari, or whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. I will make some videos about the stuff that I'm reselling. And that's how I started on TikTok, is making content like that. And it just kind of blew up from there. And it wasn't until 2021, March of 2021, when I even mentioned my movie collection. So there was a full year on TikTok where I didn't even talk about movies, which is not a lot of people know about.
That's really cool though. Now my next question, do you know like close to an exact number of how many movies you have in your collection, or?
Yeah, I do not. The last time I counted, I know it's over 2,000, but the last time I counted was years ago. And ever since starting talking about movies on TikTok, I for sure have gained another 1,000 easy, for sure. But yeah, it's insane. It's yeah, I need a bigger house.
I don't know. Recently in the last 5 years or so, I found myself collecting DVDs and Blu-rays more and more. So I think I have a little over 500, my whole family included. So as I go to a video game store, used video game store, and they have the, it's basically like, buy two, get the third free for $5 movies. So for like three movies, I'm spending like 10 bucks. I'm like, that's perfect. So I go there every few months and just get like 9 or 10 movies. And so I've been building my collection and everything, and also by watching the Whatnot videos and everything, I've been getting a lot more from there as well.
So it's a good way to do it. It's you can on Whatnot, you can get it real, real cheap for sure, which I'm all about. I know that I don't have the biggest collection on TikTok, and I know that I don't have the like prettiest collection. And when I say that, I'm talking about like, you know, it's not 4K steelbook, you know, gorgeous, expensive copies. But I will say I have the biggest collection for the cheapest amount of money for sure. Cause I'm super cheap when it comes to collecting movies. Absolutely.
Yeah, I usually don't like spending too much over $5 per movie, especially if it's like an older movie, unless it's something I've just really been looking for.
Right.
Absolutely. Like one that I've been on the hunt for 2 years is this movie called Bye Bye Love with Paul Reiser and Randy Quaid. It's awesome. I watched it first on HBO Max. I believe it's from 1995. And I watched it, and then they took it off of HBO Max like a month after they put it on. So it's like, I've been looking for it ever since.
Yeah. That's the very annoying thing about streaming is they will not warn you when they're taking something off. And, you know, the other frustrating thing about that is more than likely you didn't keep a list of those movies. And so you'll be like, wait. No, there's that one movie I watched it. It was here, but now it's gone. But I have no way of figuring out how to look it up. And that's the great thing about collecting physical media is it doesn't matter what the streamers do. Especially when it comes to like Disney is editing, you know, the movies on their app for whatever reason, different things. So having that originally intended piece of art as a physical media is super important for sure.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Now, I wonder if you feel the same way as me whenever, like, let's say I went to that video game store the other day and I got a bunch of movies I was looking for. And then after I leave, I'm thinking, oh, wait, I didn't look at this movie, which I was looking for as well. Do you feel the same way sometimes?
No, I do not have a list of what I'm looking for because I feel like that wastes my time.
True.
I mean, it's a great feeling when you find the movie you're looking for sure. But, and I've done this, I've had, at one point I had a list, but there was no easy way of looking for those movies. And so I would be running all over the store trying to find it alphabetically or whatever. And I would never find any of them. And then next thing I knew, I just wasted 30 minutes looking for like six movies. Whereas if I looked at every single movie in 30 minutes, I would have found probably not what I'm looking for, but so much other just incredible films. So nowadays I just look at everything and pick it up if I need it. That's pretty much how I do it.
That's a great thing. A movie I feel like I've passed on so many times and I finally need to get, so I just watched it for the first time, is Princess Bride. One of my really close friends was like, you need to watch it. So yeah. I've been holding off for years, but I finally watched it. And now I'm like, okay, great. I'm gonna add this.
So, yes, it's, absolutely. I love that movie. Yeah.
Now let's talk about videography a little bit. That's something I'm a little interested in. But how did you get started with your company and everything? Let's talk a little more about that.
Yeah. So first off, I've been into movie making since I was 12. That's when I made my first, you know, quote unquote movie, which was a short film with my friends. It's awful. But that's when I realized, oh, I like telling stories and I like filming and I like directing. And so ever since then I have, you know, just been making videos, and I joined YouTube, you know, in 2007, I'm like OG days of YouTube and I loved it. And how the business started was with weddings. Weddings are very lucrative. Just throwing that out there for everybody. If you want to make money in the video world, weddings is a great place to start. When I graduated college, I had someone come up to me and they said, "Hey, do you film weddings?" They knew that I like made videos, but they're like, "Hey, do you film weddings? I'm getting married this summer." And I just graduated college. I had no job. And I was like, "Oh, money? Yes, I do film weddings." Even though, no, I had never filmed a wedding before. So I think I charged $400, which is so cheap. So cheap. I charged $400, and that's when I filmed my first wedding. And then about 3 years later, I finally purchased my own camera, because I never really had my own good camera. And that's when I started taking the wedding thing seriously. And I was teaching at the time, but as I kept filming weddings, the business kept growing. I launched the LLC of my business in 2015, but I was still teaching. I taught for another 2 years full-time. So I was full-time teaching and full-time with my business. And finally in 2017, I quit teaching and just went into the business, just accepting every job that I could, just in case, you know, I didn't make enough money. But the thing was, is I was making more money than I was teaching. It's just, you know, when you have a, you know, quote unquote normal job, you get a paycheck every 2 weeks and you know that that's coming. Whereas being an entrepreneur, having your own business, you actually don't really know. You know, you can plan ahead, but if anything that the pandemic taught me, you can't really plan ahead because you never know what's going to happen. So that's kind of how it started, and I'm still doing it to this day. Yeah. And it's a lot of fun.
That's great. Yeah. That's really cool. Videography is definitely something I want to kind of dabble in a little bit, through college, because I, plan on majoring in Bible and communications because, of course, I want to be a preacher, but I also really want to work in radio. So
nice.
I'll be double majoring with that. And the school that I go to, I think they have a few videography classes. They don't have like a major or minor for it, though. So, but I'll definitely take a few classes in that and stuff. So I'm excited. It's definitely something I've always really been interested in.
Yeah, that's awesome. Where are you going to school?
Freed Hardeman University in Henderson, Tennessee. It's a small university in a small little town, but it's really cool. My brother went there, and I have a lot of friends that already go there, and I just fell in love with the school. So
okay, oh, that's great. That's awesome. Yeah, very cool.
It's really weird that I'm already a senior. So it's just time goes by like that, especially in a pandemic, which is really strange.
I cannot imagine being in school during the pandemic. And thankfully I wasn't a teacher in the pandemic either, or I would not have survived that either. So hopefully it gets better for sure.
Hopefully. Now, if you don't mind me asking, what did you teach? Like what subject was it and everything?
Yeah. So I was hired to be the art teacher for high school. And then I think 3 years later, I convinced them for me to start a photography / filmmaking class. So I did that for, I did art, but I also did that for my final 2 years as well. So yeah, anything art related is kind of what I was in charge of.
That's really cool. Art is so important and it means so much. And a lot of people don't always see that. And I definitely feel like lately people have really, through TikTok and YouTube, have really been trying to get that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Art is the reason why businesses are successful today, because you have to show your product, and the art of photography and filmmaking helps you do that. But you also have to have a logo. So the art of typography and creating on all of those Adobe platforms is important. And art brings the world together, and it's so just not talked about, and I think it's super super important that people do realize just how important art really is.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And I really didn't realize that until I guess a few years back. But as last year, my sister, she's starting a small business where she makes t-shirts and anything with the cricket. So it's like through that, I've realized, wow, art is super important. And I've also been doing like wood burning stuff throughout the pandemic because my parents thought it was a good idea to get me a hot iron. So I was like, okay.
Yeah. There you go. Why not?
Yeah. There's only one casualty. Our dining room table now has a tiny little smiley face in it.
There you go.
So it's like,
you have to.
Oops. Yeah. So that was funny though. But yeah. Do you have any advice for, as we still have a few more minutes, do you have any advice for anybody who's wanting to get into videography or TikTok or anything like that?
Let's talk videography first. If you want to get into videography, obviously YouTube is going to be your best friend. YouTube is going to teach you everything that you need to know. Obviously, taking classes is also going to be helpful. So if you're going into school, taking classes is going to be great. If you want to go into filmmaking and you want to have that as your degree, I think it's a pretty good idea for sure. I do think you can learn everything on YouTube. But when there's someone actually like actively telling you, for some people, it's better when you have to be forced to listen versus you doing it yourself. So it just depends on your drive. But the best film school that I think anyone can go to is watching movies. By watching movies and understanding how movies are made, and you know, following some of those rules of movie making, that is going to help you, I believe, not only with your filmmaking and your technique and even directing, but also with storytelling as well. I don't care what camera you use. It could be just a VHS camera, you know, from the 80s, 70s and 80s. If your story is good, I will watch it. But if your story's not good, again, like you could film a 4K film for Netflix, but if your story's not good, it's a 4K piece of garbage. Story trumps everything all the time, always. So learning how to tell a story is the most important thing. And even if you're getting into videography for not filmmaking, you still have to tell a story.
Right.
And so learning to tell a story, how to keep people's attention, that's super important. And that kind of segues into TikTok as well. I think I am very successful at TikTok because I have this knowledge of filmmaking. And so my editing can be a little bit better. The way that I approach my acting or the way that I talk to people it's not just something that I do, it's something that I've learned,
right?
Because of movie watching and filmmaking and everything like that. So same thing with TikTok. If you don't keep people's attention, even though it might be for 7 to 15 to 30 seconds, especially on TikTok, they will swipe as fast as you can get out the first word. So all of that is all tied together. And I think very, very important if you want to get into it, for sure.
Most definitely. I feel like I've really been thinking for the last 3 or 4 years of writing some sort of story based on something that happened in my life, because my brother fought cancer in 2015. Mm-hmm. He's in remission now, but through that, we lived in El Paso, Texas at the time. He was going to school in Henderson, Tennessee. And he was 19, but he was able to be rushed to St. Jude. And my parents came down here. I stayed with my grandmother for a few weeks, and then I came down here as well. And then we ended up moving to Memphis, Tennessee later on. But through that, I met my best friend, Emma, who she was also fighting cancer. She was fighting Ewing sarcoma. And her and my brother both went into remission around the same time. Yeah. But her cancer did come back, and she did sadly pass away. But at the same time, I feel like those 2 years where I knew her, I feel like those are two of the most important years of my entire life, and they always will be. So, and two of the most special years. So I really feel like I could do something that inspires people with that story. I just need to actually put my hand on a piece of paper or actually do something and be motivated to write that.
So. Yeah, absolutely. First off, I think that's a great, story and a great direction to head into. Because I think a lot of people will connect with that. But yes, the most important thing is actually writing it down. And that's something that I'm not a master at either. This is kind of a side note, but I learned that James Gunn during the pandemic, even though nothing was greenlit, he wrote the Peacemaker TV show.
Like all
this he just casually decided to do that. And I was just like, man, I wish I was a good writer and actually decided one day to just start writing my stuff down. That's a huge first step is actually literally just writing it down. Cause obviously stories can live up here, but if you want anyone else to experience that story, unfortunately you got to write it down.
Right. Most definitely. And, I feel like that's one of the things I go to write it down. And then I'm like, I'll pull my computer back out tomorrow. And then it's 4 months later. I'm like, oh, this is still on Word or something like that.
Yeah. It's tough to find that drive for sure.
Now, is there anything else you would like to maybe promote or even talk about? So since we have a few more minutes left.
I don't know. If you're listening, I would love for you to check out the TikTok. I will be starting to put more videos out on my YouTube very soon. It's just I have to finish up real job work before I could do YouTube work. Even though I'd love YouTube to be a full-time thing. So a follow on YouTube is also pretty dang cool. And Beastar Cinema is the username all over the place. Instagram, TikTok, whatnot, YouTube. Just to try and make it easy for everybody. But that's kind of the direction that I'm heading in here. I really love TikTok, but if I really want to do this full time, TikTok doesn't pay that well at all. In fact, I'm actually not being paid by TikTok. So I need other things to work out. And that's kind of my goal for these next couple of months is to just see. Just see what happens. Who knows? I don't. I wish I did, because then I could pursue it. But who knows what's going to happen these next couple of months? But it's an exciting time for sure.
That's great. So everybody, go check out Beastar Cinema on TikTok, Instagram, whatnot as well. Whatnot is so much fun.
Yeah. So, whatnot is for those. Listening, if you have never heard of Whatnot, WHATNOT, it is live auctions where you could just go buy whatever you want, pretty much. I sell movies on there, but they do Funko, they do Pokemon, vintage clothing, all sorts of card breaking. But it's live auction, and right then and there you could buy a product. And it's super addicting. I've spent way too much money myself. It's fun.
Yeah, it's definitely great. Sometimes I find myself just watching the videos and then I'm like, I think I'm going to finally bid.
Yeah, right.
But thank you everybody for listening. Go check out Brian's TikTok and everything. And also go check out This Podcast Is Rigged on, of course, you're listening to this probably on Spotify or Apple, but go check out the my TikTok, which is This Podcast Is Rigged with JW, and also Instagram, which is just This Podcast Is Rigged. I'm almost at 1,000 followers on TikTok, so super excited about that. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Do you have anything else, Brian?
That's it. I mean, listen to the man. Follow everything that he's doing because, dude, the fact that you're 18 and you've started a podcast, you obviously have a drive and that not a lot of, younger people do have. So that's awesome. So I really hope everyone gives the love and does the following for sure for you.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a wonderful day, everybody.